Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Independent economist David W. Higgins is with me here on Lunchtime Live today because, David, you've been writing about additional supports for single people to try and get on the housing ladder. The 2022 census figures show us 23% of households in Ireland contained just one singular person. That's around 426,000 people. It's a leap of 15% on the 1996 figures. How would something like these single supports work?
Hi, Andrea. So I suppose the key measure that I've looked at in this article is the central bank lending rules. So when people go for a mortgage, they're either a single applicant or joint. And just to firstly say about those two groups, that a single applicant will be potentially a single person, the group that I'm writing about here, but also a one-income family. And that's kind of become a bit of a rare breed in Ireland now. Most couples tend to be both working. But the gap between the two, the single applicant, the joint applicant, there's no distinction between them in the lending rules. So if you're a first-time buyer, you can borrow four times whether you're in either group. So really, you know, on the couple side, you could almost think of it almost being like an eight times multiple. It's not, but it means that there's this great difference in the borrowing capacity. When those two groups tend to go out to bid on homes, it means that the two income couple tends to have quite an edge over a single person or a one income couple. And what I'm arguing for here is that we should look and see whether joint applicants should maybe have a lower borrowing multiple that might act as a levelling of the playing field.
It's not a fair playing field at all, though. Sure, it's not, David. I mean, like, it's such an ask for anybody on their own to buy their own home.
It is. And the Irish Independent did a great analysis of this a couple of weeks ago, where they looked at a typical teacher, age 34, 0.11 of the scale, someone earning around 62,000 euros. And even when you 4X that salary, it wouldn't get you a two-bedroom house in either Dublin City, Cork City, Galway City, or and most of the Dublin commuter counties. So that just goes to show how difficult it is for a single applicant. But part of the reason why we have the house prices that we have is that it's really a function of people's incomes and then a multiple of them. But if you have you know, everyone can borrow four times their income. And then if you have two earners doing that, you will end up with
eight times
house prices at those levels.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I have lived through this and only in very, very recent times bought a house myself and did it on my own. And I know, David, how difficult this is. As a result of that, I was, you know, well into my late 30s being able to buy the property. And by comparison, my friends that were buying with somebody else were doing it at an earlier age for these very reasons, because they'd more income, they were better able to bid when the bidding war started, they'd more cash to throw at the house.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even with two people, you may have the added advantage of two sets of parents. The bank of mom and dad might be able to act with a 2x multiple as well compared to the single person or the one income couple. But, you know, I think that, you know, part of this, you know, needs to be considered. I'm making this case with full consideration of the fact that dual income households are very much the norm now. So because of women entering the workforce, we now very much have, it's roughly about 2/3 of women in the workforce, whereas you go back to the 1980s, it used to be only 1/3. So you just didn't have as many of the dual income couples. You know, there are policies of the past that I don't advocate for here, things like the marriage bar, things that really curtailed the ability to have a lot of like dual income couples were basically almost prohibited by legislation. But I think the central bank lending rules are a good mechanism to look at. Now, I know that we only just revised them in recent years. We took it from 3.5 times to 4 times. But I think that avenue could be the thing to look at that would better give that relative leg up to singles and one income families. And I think it would mean that, you know, many couples who are going to buy their first home, they may feel, but you know what, we actually don't need to borrow against both of our salaries. We could borrow just against one. And that would actually give families the option then later throughout the term of the mortgage to say, well, you know what, we don't need to be, you know, pushing ourselves 40-hour weeks for both of us. Yeah. One more time with the kids. It might give that pressure off for everybody.
So I can imagine there's plenty of people, and rightly probably so in many instances, listening to this today, David, thinking, why should there be some kind of banks? Why should people buying properties on their own be supported or shored up in some way? They are a greater risk to the lender. Because if I lose my job or quit my job in the morning, we're snookers.
Well, what's crucial, what I'm arguing for here, is not that single people or single applicants get any sort of boost. It's actually about taking the joint applicants down a notch relative to the singles. So there is in the article, the spur for me to write this was a statement by the Labour Party, their housing spokesperson, Conor Sheehan, a couple of weeks ago. He said that there should be a dull debate on housing measures for single people. And when it comes to actually specific, I wouldn't say spend a cent on single people. We already have a very high waiting list for single people in our social housing waiting list. We're already doing a lot for single people in that realm. And I certainly wouldn't want the banks to be taking on any further risk with single income applicants. But I think by actually toning down the pressure, it comes from looking at the joint applicants, the couples. That's the way that we might, get this better standing for everybody.
So I suppose it's not really as such supports for single people, as you say. It's more about a levelling of the playing field with couples against single family incomes.
Yes, that's very, very much what I'm saying.
Do you think this will come to pass?
I think because we've just looked at the mortgage rules already, that's probably not going to be on the horizon for some time. The Rubicon we might need to actually cross is to say, well, do you know what? Adding this tilt to the rules, the kind of single versus joint, if the government wanted to come along and do this, we'd have to actually tell the central bank what to do. And what we've done in the coming out of the financial crash was to say, well, you know, the government doesn't get involved with this realm at all. It's up to the central bank to set these policies independent on their own. We might need to get over that hump of saying, you know, well, we are actually going to, steer the central bank in some direction because we think it'll be for the common good.
It's interesting when you look at the figures and the number of people, that are in one income households or as single income households or single income families and the increase in that. I mean, the likelihood is those figures are going to continue to rise as well, David.
Yeah, it's one of those. I mean, certainly we have lower marriage rates than we did decades before. We've lower birth rates. That's a trend that I call it the milestone recession. Key life milestones of buying your first home, marriage and family, they've gotten delayed in time. They have become less common with some people missing out on them. So yes, living alone is very much a trajectory that it seems that we're on. There's something quite curious about that though, which is that we have had an increase in one-person households through decades where house prices have been on a real tear upwards. There is something about the one-income household. It seems that there's a willingness to form it, even through those high prices. People are willing to just push through that affordability barrier to do it if it's something they very much want to do.
Independent economist David W. Higgins, thanks a million for joining us here in Lunchtime Live today, David.
Thank you.
Should single people get extra supports to try and get on the property ladder, or is it just as simple as trying to level the playing field between couples and single income families? Denise is on the line. Do you agree or disagree, Denise?
I don't agree. I mean, he's talking there about a level playing field and trying to make a level playing field, but the reality of the situation is it's not a level playing field. There are some people single out there or one income families that can afford a mortgage and a big mortgage and to live where they want. But generally speaking, it takes two salaries now to afford any kind of standard house in Ireland. And I know as a couple with a family, it's a struggle. So, I mean, it's like buying a BMW. It's like someone giving you money for a BMW, but then you have to maintain the BMW. You have to pay the bills on it. So it's the same as a house here. If you give someone a mortgage, that's great and they get on the ladder, but all the bills, they're on their own. As you said yourself, if they lose their job or they get sick, and I don't mean, I'm not talking about the risk, I'm talking about the actual difficulty of maintaining a home in Ireland with the cost of living and the bills and the food on your own. So I just don't think given helping them with the mortgage is the answer. It's the whole, we have to look at the bigger picture. Like housing is not affordable. It's like we're asking for this luxury goods that we're all struggling to afford, and one person being given help towards it is not helping the big picture of it. I mean, if they build smaller one-bedroom little apartments that are really affordable for people who are single, I mean, that would be something. But I know as part of a couple who earns quite good money, we are struggling all the time to get over the line. So I just can't imagine.
And your two incomes in the house, Denise? And
two
it's a
incomes
struggle.
In the house, yeah. And a very standard, what would be considered a relatively small mortgage, a very small house in North Dublin, and just struggling. And if any of us, if anything happens, our salaries or out of work for a month, that's it. It's just game over. It's trying to sort out the bank and get you know, trying to get leeway on payments and stuff like that. So on your own, that must be an absolute nightmare. So I just think we're setting people up for a fall, really, to do that.
What about you, Nikki? Do you think there should be some, I don't know how supports would work. I know David talks there about kind of trying to, you know, bring it down a notch maybe for couples or somehow trying to level the playing field. But what's your thoughts on single people trying to buy houses?
Well, it's extremely difficult for them. You know, so many of them are wanting to move out of home and be independent people, and they just can't afford to, even if they're in a good job with a good salary, let alone the people who are in a good, steady job with maybe a lower salary. But I don't think the thing to do is to lower the supports for a couple. I mean, that's kind of penalising a couple. But there definitely needs to be more supports for a single person to try and compete in getting the loans to get a mortgage. You know, like how, just as that previous person said, maybe if there were more single, you know, one-bedroom apartments, decent size, not little boxes. But we're also not talking just about young single people. About people who have been widowed and are on their own or divorced.
It was a huge, something we talk about many times on this show, Nikki.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple who are struggling to pay a mortgage and they've ended up divorced and they can't afford to move out of the house, and yet they can't live with each other. I mean, that's an awful situation that we have. So it's just the whole affordable housing thing is just a farce in my mind.
Often affordable for very few.
Very few. And the other thing I think is there are going to end up being so many second-hand houses on the market, because the market has been flooded with all these new houses which are unaffordable, even though there are certain grants. But there's nothing to make people want to buy second-hand houses. You know, there's no incentives for that.
Well, the first-time buyer's grant, I suppose, but, you know, that was really applying initially for people with for new bills, you know, up to a certain capacity. Just on that, listener in Galway has got in touch to say, my daughter is a 36-year-old single person. She bought a small two-bed house in March of this year, only with the help of her parents, and now we are broke. She didn't qualify for the first-time house buyer's grant because she wasn't borrowing 70% of the mortgage, so she wasn't allowed to borrow that amount in the first place. The law is totally discriminating against a single person with one income. I did actually contact the minister myself to raise this point. And let's say there's been no change. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Una's on the line in Sligo. Una, what's your thoughts on some form of, whatever you want to call it, support grants for people trying to buy a house on their own?
I think the single people have been forgotten about. They're totally neglected. You know, single people need a home, and it's not just a one-room box room that single people need either. And we're talking about adult single people in their late 20s, early 30s even, still living at home. There needs to be some support for them. Absolutely. I know couples are struggling. But when you look at what's happening, single people, they have no chance. And it's time our government stood up and realised that these young people are our future. They need proper homes. They need a chance, the same as a married couple, to buy a home.
Mm.
And not shove them into little box apartments.
Yeah, if you even manage to get that box that you're talking about, you might be doing well, Una, too. The point, though, that was made, I think it was by Denise. I think Denise is still with us. Like, whatever about a person on their own, whether they're a single income family or, you know, a single person drawing down a mortgage. Okay, you're trying to compete with somebody, maybe with a couple, two incomes to buy a property. And even if you do manage to get, like, even if you were getting a bigger mortgage, like, you still have to furnish that mortgage on your own. You've all the bills to pay. It's a tough ask. You know, it's a difficult ask, Una, isn't it?
It's really difficult.
Very
it's really difficult.
Ask and it's a very difficult ask. And I think the playing field should be levelled a little to support the single people out there. They have no chance. Mm.
But even if you level the playing field as such, Denise, the point then is that you still have one person who's to pay this huge mortgage and pay all the bills.
Yeah, exactly. So defeating the purpose of levelling the playing field, because the playing field is just really, it's just impossible to level it. You know, you're asking somebody to take on a mortgage, bills, the risk factor in an economy that's only going up, inflation is going up, the cost of living is going up. What if interest rates go up and that person comes out of their fixed and all of a sudden they're paying an extra 400 a month? Like, we took that hit as a couple. We're paying an extra 400 on top of what we started paying a couple of years ago. So, I mean, if that was a single person on one income taking the interest rate hit, you know, that's
huge.
That could be a few years down the line, but that's really hard, yeah.
Well, just when you make that point, this texter says, I'm single, I've tenants in to make living affordable under the rent-a-room scheme. Game-changing option for me. I'm frustrated that we pay for everything, including educating other people's children, and I get nothing in return. Another listener says, my nephew is single, employed, 34 years of age, wants to buy my second property. I'm selling it to him at a good price. Property's in great condition, but the bank won't loan to him on a second-hand property, but they will on a new house. A-rated, more expensive home. The government won't help to buy in a second-hand property. This tells me the government and the bank seem to be propping up the developers. Absolutely disgusted, listener in Galway. Emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. James is on the line. James, what's your view in all of this?
Well, I think that you sort of got to look at what's the ultimate goal for this. So, like, obviously being giving people housing and allowing people to sort of have a future with their home, that is obviously a very admirable goal. But you also got to look at it from the perspective of trying to encourage people to have children, to have families, to prosper in that way. And, you know, being realistic, if you are a single person or a person who's in a couple, but if you're living at home with your parents, it's very difficult to start a family. You don't want to feel willing to have a family. To do the activities to begin a family is quite difficult if you're not living in a place by yourself. And if you're a single person, it's very difficult to bring home dates, to sort of go out, to enjoy your life and to sort of progress in your life and whatever if you don't have your own place. So to give them the support is a good perspective, but also people who are couples who don't have a house, who don't have the financial means to do that, even with two incomes, then they're not going to have a family. And that, I think, is a huge part of having a home, is to have a family. Now, that's not to say you have to have a family, or if you don't have a family, you shouldn't be supported or you shouldn't have a house. That's not what I'm saying.
No,
but
no.
The family is a huge cost additionally, as well as the goal. But like, the cost of children is substantial, mm-hmm. and it's only going up. So any bit of help you could do that there, if you look at the population replacement rate for Ireland in terms of people having children, it's not great. So you'd want people to sort of have their own homes and to be having children. And also, people who are single, if they have their own home, then yeah, they might also go down the route of having children and having a couple. But it, to be honest, if I wasn't in a, you know, relationship, I'm engaged, whatever, there's no chance whatsoever that I would be in the position to buy my own house or live in my own place. With I'd be renting at the very, probably either living with my parents or I'd be renting my own place, depending on where my work took me. So absolutely, if I was single, there's not a chance that I would be living in my own place as a full-fledged mm-hmm. property.
The thing that, in my experience, that I found very frustrating was that that last listener in Galway made the point was that the first time buyer's grant couldn't be used against a second-hand property. So you were actually having to draw down a higher mortgage to get the house up to, I think it was 500,000 or something, was that the cut-off perhaps for it? But you couldn't get on a lower mortgage, you couldn't get your first-hand buyer's grant if the property was second-hand. It had to be a new house. And I think that, for single people, is actually a really difficult part of the problem. Another listener says, my son and his girlfriend are trying to build a house on their own site. 6 times they had to resubmit different designs. Still no planning permission. The price of the building's gone up 24,000 since that very first application. It's a total joke. They're now thinking of emigrating. Just on this, Una, has somebody in your house had to go through this process?
No, but I have friends that have adult children still living at home, and I can see what's happening there and the stress. But we're losing all our young people. They're just leaving in droves, leaving this country in droves, because when you see the amount, the thousands they hand out every month in rent, oh my God, it's outrageous. And no help for them at all. I mean, they have nothing to look forward to in this country with the government and the banks. They've nothing to look forward to. They need help.
And then they'll say,
as do the couples as well. Yeah. They need help. People need help with homes and housing.
They'll say, look, I know, and they'd say, you know, they're obviously trying their best and different schemes there to help people, but I suppose the reality of it is when you hear people's stories, it doesn't seem to be as positive an experience. As Texter says, I'm single, I bought an apartment myself 2 years ago. The buy-in process was very difficult, competing against couples and funds. The government should be giving single people tax credits to help, as we pay the most tax and get nothing back, says this listener. Carmel says, we expect people on their own to subsidise people with children, so why shouldn't the rest of us help single people to buy a home, says Carmel. Another listener's got in touch to say, on a single mortgage I'm building at the moment, I'm back to the skin of my teeth, would never have been able to afford to buy. My sister, however, is trying to buy a home as a single person, and her two main issues are the guide price is often exceeded by a ridiculous amount with the bidding wars, and just the total lack of availability. And finally, this texter says, there's 3 new estates just opened in Lucan, 3 estates. Only thing below $500,000 is a handful of 2-bed apartments, which are 450 grand. Who is going to be able to afford them, says this texter. Email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. That's Denise, Nikki, Una, James, also independent economist David W. Higgins. Thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on Newstalk.